A very good evening to you. Welcome along once again to Sweet and Swing here on Mike's Radio. My name's Howard Kane, the voice is getting better, and hopefully I'm not passing it on to you. This evening, what have we got? A fascinating little story, courtesy of listener John, about Master Joe Peterson. We'll be hearing more about him and himself. In inverted commas. The women of jazz. The Cole Porter. Don't think we got any Cole Porter last week, did we? Probably because I forgot. And where shall we begin? Well, with the begin. Always a good number, great tune, great way to start the show. Begin with the begin. Artie Shaw and his band. Wonderful sound, wonderful player, strange man, hard work, difficult man to get on with, I believe. Super intelligent, brilliant player, perhaps almost too clever for his own good. Not a problem I've ever suffered from. We're safe there. The voice is getting better. Can you tell? You can tell it's me a bit this week. Last week I did sound a bit like Barry White. I'm slightly less Barry White-ish this week, which is nice. It is taking a long time to go, so if any of you out there have had this dreaded lurgy, as it's usually referred to on the Isle of Man, if there's a bug doing the rounds, I think I might have picked this up in France when I was there the other week, as there were a lot of people with laryngitis-type symptoms and talking like that and no voice at all. I didn't get that bad, but yes, it certainly had a bug of some kind. But then, you know, when they hang on, when you're sort of, you're miserable for a day or two, and you think, oh, I'm getting better now, and you're sort of feeling better, but you just can't get rid of all the gunk, for want of a better word, that sits in your head and all your tubes, and you just feel blocked up all. Yeah. You know where I'm coming from? I'm there at that stage at the moment. I just think, I really, really had enough of this now. And you try all the various medications you can get. Frankly, my yoga with a bit of neti, I won't go into neti because it might upset you, cleaning out your passages is as good as anything. But I've tried everything else as well. If you've got any remedies, let me know. I might try them out as long as they're safe. So, hope you're not suffering. Begin the Begin, R.T. Shaw. We will get some Cole Porter in this week. I think I forgot last week, and some more Women of Jazz. And as I say, a fascinating story, a couple of listener requests, which is nice this week, very nice. John Cannell, hello to you, John, a regular listener to the show. Always a pleasure to have you company, John, and often drops me a lovely little card, as he did the other week, with some lovely horses on the front, sort of a mare and her daughter, a younger horse, anyway. Not much of a horsey expert, really, much as I love them. But anyway, yes, a mum horse and a baby horse. Very nice. Touching picture of them, a pair of them touching heads on the front, to say, and he's writing to say he's an avid fan of the show and enjoy the music immensely. That's very kind of you. Well, we enjoy putting it together. At least I do, John. And it makes it all the better that I know that there are people like you listening and really enjoying it. And if you feel you're making a little bright spark in someone's life every week, even if only for 10 minutes, you feel that you're not wasting your time. It's a job well done, which is nice. And he had a fascinating question about a singer, and we will come to that in a moment, John. I might know more than you do. Maybe. But either way, fascinating little story, and we'll have a piece of the person in question. And I also might try and help out another listener, which is Alice. Hello to you, Alice. Yeah, and she had a question about Stan Getz. Now, I don't know whether we'll be barking up the wrong tree on this one, but we're going to give it a whiz, see what happens, then you can get in contact, and if we've got it wrong, we can try again, can't we? Seems about the right way to do it, doesn't it, one way or another? How about a little bit of Maurice Chevalier?
Than the flower, never will I meet one sweeter than you. Would you turn away or could you really learn to care if I'd ever dare to say I love you? If the nightingales could sing like you, they'd sing much sweeter than they do. For you've brought a new kind of love to me. If the Sandman brought me dreams of you, I'd want to sleep my whole life through. For you've brought a new kind of love to me. I know that you're the queen and I'm the slave, and yet you will understand that underneath it all, you're a maid, and I am only a man. I would work and slave the whole day through if I could hurry home to you, for you've brought a new kind of love to me. If the nightingale could sing like you, they'd sing much sweeter than they do. You've brought a new kind of love to me. If the Sandman brought me dreams of you, I'd want to sleep my whole life through. You've brought a new kind of love to me. Oh, I know that you're the queen and I'm the slave, and yet you will understand that underneath it all, you're a maid, And I'm only a man. I would work and slave the whole day through if I could hurry home to you. For you brought a new kind of love to me.
The unmistakable tones of Maurice Chevalier. If I was the only boy in the... etc, etc. Did he do Genevieve? Was that the one I'm thinking of? That great British film about the old car? That was Maurice Chevalier, wasn't it? I think it was, if memory serves correct. I haven't seen it for a long time now. Was it an Ealing comedy, one of those sort of things? Good stuff in any case. You brought a new kind of love to me, Maurice Chevalier, with the orchestra conducted by none other than Leonard Joy. And I can be very precise because it's got the exact recording details on. It was recorded on the 4th of April, 1930. So that's what, 93 years ago. Not to the day, but pretty darn close. Within a month of being 93 years ago. That is a bit terrifying when you say it like that, isn't it? Can it really be 93 years? I mean, 1930 was a bit before my time. Might have been a bit before your time as well, but 93 years ago? That does sound awfully long, doesn't it? You're driving me crazy. No, you're not. I'm just making it up. Sky Lombardo. The sweetest voice next to heaven, Guy Lombardo, and the voice in question there was his brother, a of course, with whom he, I think it was one of the first times he ever performed, was with his brother Carmen Lombardo taking the vocals in New York back in the 1930s. And that is pretty much how they started out. I think he first performed in public with Carmen at a church lawn party in London in 1914. And then his first recording session took place when the cornetist, that's the word I think, isn't it? Cornetist Bix Beiderbecke made his recordings in Richmond, Indiana at the Gennett Studios in the mid-1920s. Lombardo himself born in London, Ontario, in Canada to Italian immigrants. Hence the name, I guess, sort of half a mix again, isn't it? Brilliant band leader, restaurateur and hydroplane racer as well, as we mentioned the other week. Super talented guy, really lived a full-on life. Toured or formed the Royal Canadians in the mid-20s with Carmen and also his other brothers, Leberg and Victor, and other musicians from his own hometowns, billing themselves, as I said, with the sweetest music this side of heaven. Between them, they reckon they sold somewhere in the region of 150, 200, 250 million records during their lifetime. Not bad going. Don't think many people shift that sort of number these days. Downloads, maybe, but records, probably not. Sweet and Swing, here with myself, H. Lovely to have your company. Drop me a line anytime if you've got any thoughts, queries, something you'd like to hear on the show, something like a little mini feature, something you didn't like. Well, no. Yeah, you can say something you don't like. I'd rather something you did like, though. Hopefully you enjoy something somewhere during the show. We try and keep it as mixed as we can within our particular arena. HowardCain@manxradio.com is the fastest way of doing it. HowardCain@manxradio.com, all lowercase, Kane, C-A-I-N-E. And that's what Alice Quayle did last month. Sorry, it's taken a wee while to get round to this one, Alice. Just put it down to my lack of organisation rather than anything there. Hello there, she says. Prompted by something you played on Sweet and Swing a while ago. I do love the music on the programme. Only discovered it because the in-laws were both big fans. R.I.P., she says, so bless them. I think they must have both gone. Keeping it classy is an awful bloke, an anchorman says. We try and keep it classy as much as we can, Alice. Anyway, she goes on, I was wondering if you might remember something. Highly unlikely, but I do have notes so I can go back on them. A while ago, some months ago, I think, you played a tune that was basically the same as the start of Stairway to Heaven. I think it was a Stan Getz tune. I don't suppose you noticed or remember off the top of your head. I just got reminded by someone mentioning how many tunes Led Zepp lifted off other artists. It's gone on for years, hasn't it, Alice? People nicking sort of ideas and tunes off other people. Gone on for a long time. My best story about that is more suited in a way to jumping in. And it was the bassist Charlie Hayden and, of all things, Ian Dury and the Blockheads, if you remember him. Not a band that's likely to feature on Sweet and Swing anytime soon, although I'm a great fan of Ian Dury and the Blockheads. And Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll. That bass line, yeah. He pinched it off a bass solo by Charlie Hayden, playing with the avant-garde tenor sax player, or alto sax player, I should say, Ornette Coleman in the 1960s. And that was exactly the line he played on his bass. Ba-dum-dum-dum-dum-da-dum-dum. And apparently at some stage or other, Ian Dury and Charlie Hayden met. And Ian Dury said, oh, hope you don't mind, man. I pinched that tune or that little melody you had on your sax solo from that album you played with Ornette Coleman back in the 60s. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And I used it for Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll and made a hit out of it. And Charlie apparently said, oh, don't worry, man. I pinched it off a tune I heard somewhere else, which was a Native American tune that he was very fond of, that sort of music. And he said, yeah, I pinched the idea off that. I heard it in a tune from somewhere else in some Native song. I thought, that's really good. And so I made a note of it and built it into my solo. What goes around comes around. Where did the Native Indians get it from? I suppose that's the question. Anyway, Alice goes on to say, by coincidence, I noticed Getz did a record called Stairway to the Stars. He did. To answer your question, Alice, I went back in my notes thinking, right, I haven't played Stairway to the Stars, as far as I recall, or Getz's album with that. So I went back a few months, as you suggested, and you're right, it was back before Christmas, and the last Stan Getz track I played was this one, Manna di Carnival. It might be the one you're thinking of, it might not. Let me know. Thank you. Nice, nice arrangement. Modernish for Sweet and Swing, but not too modern, I don't think. I think it still swings along nicely, and always that beautiful, lyrical, velvety tone of Stan Getz on tenor. Manna di Carnaval. Was that the one then, Alice? I could see the guitar intro might sound a little bit like Stairway to Heaven, I don't know. Anyway, let me know. And if it was, then great. And any other requests, welcome. And if it wasn't, we'll have another crack. I'll go back further and see what other Stan Getz we've played. Hope you enjoyed it. In any case, I thought it was a very nice track. 1962, a good year, because that was the year I was born. Stan on tenor, Clark Terry amongst those on trumpet, along with Joe Ferranti and Nick Travis. Bob Brookmeyer, the valve trombone expert, playing trombone amongst others. A big band, as you imagine. Ray Beckenstein on the flute, which featured rather nicely there. Who else? Jim Hall on guitar, a well-known bass player. He, the kabasa, the one where you rub the beads up and down. I like it. I've got a kabasa. Carmen Custer on kabasa. Jose Paulo on tambourine. Well done, that man. Johnny Ray drums. All arranged by Gary McFarland. Most enjoyable. Notice there's a PS on Alice's email as well. If you're still taking requests, it's a bit late for Valentine's. Well, it was, yeah. It's definitely too late now, but it was sent after Valentine's Day anyway, wasn't it? So we see where you're coming from. And a bit well known, we don't worry about that too much. Nina Simone's My Baby Just Care For Me is a great song. I played it at a party once, says Alice. The dancing was excellent. I must try that again. It is a good number. And it was played, actually, quite recently, wasn't it? I heard it on radio, not on Sweet and Swing, but on the radio. I can't remember who was playing it now. My Baby Just Cared For Me. Possibly the best thing. If you're not a Nina Simone, she did a lot of recording, but possibly the best known? I don't know. We're not going to be playing Nina Simone, but if you like the track, Alice, keep listening over the next few weeks, because it's going to be cropping up in another guise. That's all I'm going to say for the time being. Haven't forgotten you, John, either, with your request. An interesting one, that, coming up in a few minutes. Before that, though, how about A Girl in Calico? What's not to like?
Sunday bowl till I rode away. Do I want her? Do I want her love? Yes, sirree. Will I win her? Will I win her love? Wait and see. Working with a rodeo, go from town to town, see most every kind of gal, every kind of gown. But who made my heart sing? Yippee-i, yippee-o, my little gal in calico. Mm-hmm.
Did it, did it, did. I like that. Nice ending indeed. A Gal in Calico. Ambrose and his orchestra with Alan Dean taking the vocals. He emigrated out to the States. In the end, Alan Dean, I think, sang with Art Thompson, Jack Wallace, Harry Roy, Oscar Rabin. Quite a few of them in the days, in the late 40s. And he went on to form a little bebop group. At one stage, don't think it lasted very long. And it featured some gentleman called Ronnie Scott on tenor sax. I wonder what happened to him. I think he went to the jazz club business, if memory serves correct. Yeah. So Ronnie, Alan Dean played together back in the day, early 40s, or thereabouts, mid-40s it might have been. He also became a founder of the famous Keynotes singing group. Remember the Keynotes, Alan Dean? That was, not Ronnie Scott. And then decided to bugger off to America. Well, why not? Don't know what happened to him in America after that. You might know. HowardCain@MaxRadio.com if you know what happened to Alan Dean after that. I'm sure some of you probably do. If you'd like to hear more, get in touch. HowardCain@MaxRadio.com. Always lovely to hear from you on that one. Another vocal? Yeah, why not another vocal? What shall we have? How about a bit of, I don't know, Denny Dennis. Denny Dennis and Roy Fox. Things are looking up. Well, I sincerely hope so. It's almost spring.
Landscape over, and it's covered with four-leaf clover. Oh, things are looking up since love looked up at me. Bitter was my cup, but no more will I be the mourner, for I've certainly turned the corner. Oh, things are looking up since love looked up at me. See the sunbeams, everyone beams, just because of you. Love's in session, and my depression is unmistakably through. Oh, things are looking up. It's a great little world we live in. Oh, I'm happy as a pup since love looked up at me.
Things are looking up. We do like to hope so, don't we? The daffodils are out. Spring is in the air, which usually means now we're going to get a week of cold weather. It'll probably snow a bit. But that's the Isle of Man and the Northwest for you, isn't it? Hopefully, after a week or so of cold, then we'll get into spring proper. You can get the lawnmower out. The buds will be bursting. Things will grow like wildfire. And away we go again into another summer. Another summer. Whatever we get. Sometimes better than others. Now then, John Cannell. Hello to you again, John. Yes, a regular listener to the show. And he sent this lovely card, the one with the horses I was mentioning earlier on. Foal and mare, or whatever the case. Foal, that was the word I was after. There we go. Dear Howard, just writing to say I'm still an avid fan. Lovely. Have you ever heard of a singer named Joe Peterson? brackets male, says John, possibly from the 1940s, When Day Is Done and Old Man of Mine, of the tracks that I've heard. Very best wishes, John Cannell, over at Shen Valley. Well, the name vaguely rang a bell, so I started doing a little bit of, Googling around and digging around a little bit, and a fascinating story emerges. Inasmuch as Master Joe Peterson, the boy soprano, wasn't male, John. He was female. Long before we got into the rows in QE2 High School and the current curriculum. Nothing to do with that, but Master Joe Peterson was actually Mary O'Rourke. And quite a little story, and sadly, I have to say, report, a rather tragic one as well. So yes, born to Hannah and Joseph O'Rourke on the 26th of July 1913, the 12th of, 14 children. Yes, times have changed, haven't they? Mary was brought up in Glasgow's Gallowgate. She had a beautiful voice, a beautiful and unique voice, and won many talent contests, and started to make a bit of a name for herself in Scotland's music halls, and as is often the case, if you're doing quite well, where do you head? You head down to London, as Mary did at the age of 14, with her brother Joe, where the name comes from, I'm guessing, to seek fame and fortune. And it was here that her entertainer and impresario uncle, a gentleman called Ted Stebbings, taught her how to impersonate a boy singer to replace one who'd worked for him whose voice had broken. Mary could imitate a choir boy to perfection, so despite being female, she came to prominence as a singing boy. She was just 5 foot tall, jet black hair, dressed in short trousers, a black jacket, her chest bound with bandages to hide her female form. That must have been nice for her, not, I'd have thought. And with the stage name Master Joe Peterson, she performed complete with an Eton collar on as well, just to complete that choir boy look. This popular act was promoted by her Uncle Ted, of course. No fool he, brought radio appearances and recording contracts in the 1930s, and in 1933, Crystal Date Records of London signed her up, billing her as, indeed, you said, John, Master Joe Peterson, the phenomenal boy singer. And she became a huge variety star in Britain and on the continent. Doesn't go well from there, I'm afraid. Before we go any further, let's hear a bit of Master Joe Peterson. I couldn't find the songs you mentioned, John, unfortunately, When Day Is Done, An Old Man of Mine. I could find this one, though. You Made Me Care.
Heart, you still
definitely on the sweet side of Sweet and Swing. Mary O'Rourke, or, as she was there, Master Joe Peterson. Almost sounds a bit like Vera Lynn to me, a young Vera Lynn. Is that just me? But performing there as the choir boy, as this character of Master Joe Peterson, with which she did so well, and performed widely and recorded her widely as well back in the day. But as I said, sadly, the story doesn't go well from there, as often the case, I'm afraid, isn't it? She wasn't very happy just wanting to be the boy charade forever, not surprisingly. She didn't want it to continue. She wanted to record in her own name, but of course was dissuaded from leaving Master Joe by her Uncle Ted, who no doubt had one eye on the till, I would guess. It was a good act to sell, wasn't it? It was just another girl singer, not quite the same. She became pregnant and married an orchestra violinist, George Lethbridge, in 1933, but the marriage wasn't happy, I'm afraid. A war started in the late 1930s. George joined the army. Mary left on her own to look after her six-year-old daughter, Margot. The last Master Joe recording, released in 1942 in the middle of the war. And then, as is often the case, nothing rare here, I'm guessing, she began to drink very heavily, presumably just to try and numb life in general, I would guess. Things hadn't been going so well. George stayed in the army after the war. In fact, he rose up to be a major in the army, but sadly the marriage collapsed in 1952. And after the breakdown of her marriage, she returned alone to live in Glasgow, leaving Margot, her child, behind. Still performed as Master Joe in the 40s and 50s, presumably trying to make ends meet and get something in. She even appeared, apparently, on STV's 1 o'clock show as Master Joe as late as 1963. So I was around, a bit young to watch it, 1963, so aged 50, she was still performing as Master Joe. Sadly, again, I tell you, it's a sad old story, this one, John. Their daughter Margot died just in her 40s following a short illness. And Mary herself died of bronchitis at home, Christmas Eve, 1964, on her own, 51 years old, and listed as a hopeless alcoholic. Sad ending, when you think of that lovely voice, and, you know, coming from fairly poor beginnings to actually do very well, and then going back to where you started, it all seems very unfair and very sad and cruel, doesn't it? She's buried in St. Peter's Cemetery in Dalbeath. The inscription says, Mary Lethbridge, known to her millions as to her millions of fans, as Master Joe Peterson. And it's believed, apparently, that Jimmy Logan helped to organise the funeral, which she attended along with Glenn Daly and other artists, given her popularity as one of the best-loved artists in the Glasgow halls. She also, by the way, had a couple of other pseudonyms. She also performed as Master Wilfred Eaton and Master Michael Dorney. Fascinating story. Sorry it's such a sad one, quite literally a tragic one, really. John, but thanks for ever so much for bringing that up. Really something very different. So many of these stories are fascinating when you hear them, aren't they? And we keep saying that on Sweet and Swing. Some of them are happy. I think Guy Lombardo, generally, I think, was a happy one, did very well, made millions, raced boats, etc., and some of them not so happy, as the case of Mary there or Master Joe Peterson. But is she remembered now well outside of those who knew her in the Glasgow music halls? I wouldn't like to say. Thank you.
meet less fortunate mortals, there's just one parting message I would give to you. You all have learned reliance on the sacred teachings of science, so I hope through life you never will decline, in spite of Philistine defiance, to do what all good scientists do. Experiment, make it your motto day and night. Experiment, and it will lead you to the light. The apple on the top of the tree is never too high to achieve. Just take an example from Eve. Experiment, be curious, though interfering friends may frown. Get furious at each attempt to hold you down. If this advice you'll only employ, the future can offer you infinite joy and merriment. Experiment and you'll see.
Thank you.
Lovely. I like that a lot, very much indeed. Translucency Blues. A threefer for you there. A threefer. When was the last time you had a threefer, I ask you? Translucency Blues. That's our Women in Jazz. At least our Woman in Jazz for today, in any case. Classic female jazz artist from 1939 to 1952. You might have recognised Duke Ellington at the piano there. And that goes back to 1927 when Adelaide Hall sang a wordless vocal on his Creole Love Call. That's worth hearing too. And the technique brought a new creative peak with the presence of Kay Davis, who sang with the orchestra, often without words, from the mid-40s through to the 50s. And Transbluency, as it's called there, or Translucency, the most sublime of all Duke's and her creations in this idiom. Muted trumpet at first, trombone, bass clarinet with Harry Carney, and then Lawrence Brown solo joined by Kay. Lovely sound, that. I'm liking that a lot. Before that, we had Experiment, Gertrude Lawrence, with Ray Noble and his orchestra. That was our bit of Cole Porter. I told you we'd get the Cole Porter in the end. And before that, a lovely little bit of piano playing from Mead Lux Lewis with Yancey Special. That's about it. Same time, same place next week. Good. See you there. Cheerio.